Excuse me. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. Our first order of business for this evening will be our agenda. Are there any additions or corrections at this time?
No, there is not.
Okay, thank you, Madam Secretary. Hearing none?
Hearing none, Mr. Chairman, I move the agenda be approved as printed.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. McKay, a second by Mr. Mills, that we approve this evening's agenda as printed. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion so carried. Next will be the approval of the minutes of our last regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve the minutes of our last regular meeting. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion so carried. Mr. Burrell.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a time and place for public hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of hearings this evening. In order to proceed in an orderly fashion, those hearings will be conducted according to the following rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Each application is announced separately, and the applicant is asked to come forward and be sworn in. The applicant then presents the case, explains the request, and presents any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or a special use exception. The board may ask questions, of the applicant as well as any of the witnesses. The board will then invite public comments. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents. And once the testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case is either voted upon, tabled, or taken under advisement for consideration at the end of the agenda. If you're here for a matter listed as old business or other business, please understand that no new testimony or evidence is taken. Also, all board matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening and view deliberations at the end of the agenda, or you can call the board's office in the morning to get the results. And for the courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or a pager, we would ask that you turn that off during the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Burrell. First case, please.
Case number 10,831, West Rehoboth Community Land, east of Route 1, Coastal Highway, north of Dunbar Street, being part of Lot 90 within West Rehoboth Development, a variance from the maximum square footage requirement for a multifamily structure.
Good evening.
Good evening.
For the record, my name is Heidi Gilmore. I'm here representing the applicant for the lot area variance, the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust. And here with me this evening is one of the board members, Mr. Kevin McKinney. But I'll be presenting the information for you. Before we start, I do have the handouts for the standards of relief as well as our proposed layout for the community, if I can.
Okay. You pass them down there, please. Thank you.
While she's passing those out, I'll just give you some history on the lot. This is a part of the West Rehoboth community. It's not a part of the original plot of West Rehoboth. It was a later plot that was done in about 1965 by Eugene Bookhammer. One of the things and a part of my research is there is no specific plot. If you're looking for one at Sussex County, they created these lots by out conveyances of deeds. When you hear the description of part of Lot 90, that's the whole section. That's almost about 20 lots in that section. But as I said, our lot was created in 1965. You'll see it on the zoning map for Sussex County, which I have included in the packet, which is coming to you. That original lot was about 7,117.75 square feet of land area. It had 50 feet of frontage on Dunbar. It had 148.70 on a northern property line leading from Dunbar to Hebron. It has 53.04 feet on the Hebron side and 131.50 on the southerly side. One of the things you'll notice that's different with our application is the current owner's deed says the land area is 6,986, and it was because there was a new survey done when the current owner purchased the property in 2004, and Charlie Kaufman surveyed the property. So there's a little difference between the original lot and what's on the current deed, but it's a minor difference, but I just point it out because it makes a difference in what type of variance it is that you're granting. This property originally had two manufactured homes located on the site, and therefore the lot has two sewer laterals. And those mobile homes were removed, according to Sussex County records, around 1999. And the property is now vacant. So in your packet that I've given to you for the standards of relief, you'll see the current owner's deed that has that survey I referred to, as well as the zoning map for Sussex County. So that's all there. What is our proposed plan? Well, what we're proposing to do is to build a duplex, which would be built on this property if we have the lot area variance, which would adjoin back-to-back. So part of the duplex would front on Dunbar. That's where the parking would ingress and egress from. The other would join to the rear of it, and it would actually face Hebron. So it would look, if you look at the structure, it would look like it has two fronts, one Hebron, one on Dunbar. But the requirements under the Sussex County Code for lot area is requires 3630 square feet of land area per unit for a total of 7,260. And we're just shy of that with 7,117.75. So technically, we're looking for a lot area variance of 142.25, or if you go by the current deed of record, it's 273. And essentially, what that amounts to is about a 3-foot variance if you look at land area. Now, our lot is angled on the rear, and you'll see that in my presentation in the standards of relief. The rear of the property on Hebron has an angle to it, so it's not a perfect rectangle. And so that part in the back on Hebron where it's angled is essentially the lot area that we're missing to be able to have the full 7,260 square feet. We are not asking for any additional setbacks. The proposed layout that I've handed in actually shows the house sufficiently sitting on the site with the proper setbacks for front, rear, and side. The only thing that we're missing is the lot area variance. So why are we here? Well, the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust is proposing to purchase this land and to erect a duplex on the property. The West Rehoboth Community Land Trust is essentially a nonprofit organization, and their mission is to preserve, revitalize, and protect the future of what we call the community of West Rehoboth. Their intent with this project, if it's approved, is to build this duplex and to have future owners or occupants in the duplex house that property. And they're trying to meet the need for affordable housing. Currently, many people in West Rehoboth are living in less than desirable conditions. So this is one of the first ventures they're trying to do. Because of land values, the land trust is hoping to purchase it, and they can base their sale or lease on just the home rather than land values, because that's what drives up the cost and makes many people leave the area. West Rehoboth Community Land Trust has concurrently applied for a conditional use for a duplex, and that is pending before planning and zoning and Sussex County Council. We've had both of our hearings. We thought we would have that resolved by now, but that they've both deferred, and we are on for planning and zoning this Thursday for our recommendation, whatever that is. So we're here before you tonight a little prematurely, but not by design. But we've responded in the standards of relief to the question of the effect on surrounding property values to indicate that our request will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. We have many other lots surrounding us which are varying sizes, shapes, and depths, and ours is no different. Our use is still continuing to be residential. We have two streets, as I mentioned, Hebron and Dunbar, but the only access to this property is through Dunbar. DelDOT has mandated that any access to the property would be from Dunbar, and the layout also shows how we have parking coming in, and then the parties parking there can safely exit out of the property. We've requested the minimum variance to afford relief. As I said, we've requested no other setback variances, and the prior use with two homes on it, even though they're no longer there, demonstrates that the lot can support two homes. We do have the proper water and sewer hookups, and that's been confirmed through Sussex County. So our request is for you to approve our request for the lot area variance to permit a two-unit dwelling to be able to be erected on the property. So if you have any questions.
Well, I will see. Very good. Okay, are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. McCabe?
No, sir.
Mr. Workman?
The parking. Is that how many parking? You only got four parking places?
That's the proposal. We're trying to address the minimum requirements now. We have not done our full site plan with Sussex County. That would be submitted. But we're doing the minimum right now just to get through our approvals.
Okay.
Yes. But the question came up at planning and zoning is, can you come in and park and then safely exit onto the street? And the engineer has determined, yes, we can.
With just four?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Hudson?
No, sir.
Mr. Mills?
No.
Mr. Burrow?
I guess the variance sort of becomes moot if you're unsuccessful with your conditional use then?
Correct.
Okay. So you've got it. It's on P&Z's agenda
for Thursday.
Recommendation for Thursday, and then is it on the next council agenda?
They won't set it until P&Z meets, so we'll probably know on next week if they are going to put it on for the following week's agenda.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
It's that vicious deferral sliding scale.
Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Could I have a show of hands, please? There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, all those that are in opposition and would like to speak, please come forward at this time to be sworn in. Again, all those that wish to speak, please come forward.
Up here, if you would.
You have to be sworn in first. Are you representing him?
I'm representing one of the homeowners. I don't know. You don't really swear me in at all.
No, not you.
You
no.
Give her your name and address, please.
I didn't know at first if you was representing all of them. That's why.
I got one.
Just one. That's okay.
Coffee,
that's fine.
B as in boy. R-U-F-F-E-Y. 15 Stafford Road.
Yeah, I'll stick around here though. Don't just, but everybody give her your name and address. And
Tim Waters, W-A-T-E-R-S, 37 Sandalwood, Rehoboth Beach. Robert Leslie, Paul, P-A-U-L.
Helena, H-E-L-E-N-A. E-A-R-P.
What is it?
E-A-R-P. And I'm half and half. I'm ever have some Norwood, 121 Norwood.
Okay.
Stephanie Shelton, P-H or
M? Yeah.
Stephanie Shelton, S-H-E-L. 7-1-1. Norwood.
Okay. Jason Abella. A-B-E-L-A. And Three Waits Court.
I'm sorry.
Let Mr. Willard go first. He may cover a lot of the
Mr. Willard?
I'll come forward here, please. Now you're all trying to share my Bible.
You go first.
Do you all swear a firm testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but
the
truth?
I'd like for you to go first.
Okay, thanks.
Please.
Why don't you all have a seat?
That way you can lead off and probably cover
get to you one at a time.
Quite a bit.
Good evening, gentlemen, ladies. Tim Willard with Fuqua Yuri and Willard from here in Georgetown. And I represent Robert Paul. And he owns the property immediately adjacent, and I think it would be north, to the applicant's property. And I rise for him in opposition of this variance request. And I have to put on my glasses. So. Let me just say from the get-go that, you know, Mr. Paul especially is in favor of low-income housing and actually what the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust is really ultimately trying to do. We just oppose the way they're doing it and think it actually will be detrimental to this historical neighborhood, which is historically single-family, and duplexes will probably diminish the values. More importantly, or more to point, is although this thing's working its way through the Planning Commission and Council, you all have a special job, you know, as the Board of Adjustment to provide variances, which is sort of extraordinary relief to the law. And there should be no doubt about it that the law in this case for a GR lot does not allow multifamily use unless you get a conditional use. And if you get a conditional use, then you're required to have a minimum of 3,600 square feet per unit, which they don't have. So a single-family home is permitted there, but it can't go there unless you find the uniqueness, not adverse, all your standards. And we believe they can't be met based on the hardship they're proposing here, which is simply that they can't afford the lot. And ultimately, that would be, I think, a pretty dangerous precedent to establish. And I think Delaware courts have said that economic difficulty alone should not be grounds for release or establishing a practical difficulty. And that's a summary of what we have to say. I have a few exhibits, and then I'm going to call Mr. Paul up here, I think, at the outset. Perhaps I'll do that now.
Okay.
Mr. Paul? You've already been sworn, but can you state your name and where you live?
Robert Paul. I have a house in Milton.
And do you have an interest in a property, or do you own property adjacent to the applicant's
property? Yes, I do. I own the property adjacent to this, to the left.
And it's right next to it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, how long have you owned that?
Since 2005.
And just tell the board a little bit, because I think it's relevant, what your background is as far as your profession.
The irony is that for 35 years I've been dealing in renovating houses for poor people in Baltimore City. I deal in Section 8. I deal in programs as Project Place. I deal a lot with them where we found transitional housing for people who have been in shelters, who are finally going to get permanent housing, maybe getting their children back, maybe had drug addiction. And so I've been working in these programs for years. Prior to that, when I got out of college, I worked for 6.5 years in a community center running a recreation center. So I've worked in inner city and in struggling neighborhoods. I'm very familiar with it. And like I want to emphasize, I'm not against building housing for poor. Obviously, I'm not. But I think putting in a duplex sets a very bad precedent. It sets a bad precedent for the 30-some people who own single-family homes in that neighborhood. Most of those people, this is their only asset. I mean, they don't have stock accounts. They don't have vacation homes. This is their only asset, is the house they have in West Rehoboth. And to put duplex units next to single-family homes, in my opinion and my 30-some years' experience, disenfranchises these people. You might help two families, but you're not helping 30-some families who are homeowners.
Can I interrupt you for a second? What does it do to their property value?
Well, it lowers their property. First of all, if it's a rental unit, it lowers their property value. But the lawyer got up at the last meeting, and she mentioned the fact that there was no property available. They may have to make it work for $50,000 a unit. That's why they want to put two units on this. It's $100,000 for the lot. I went on multiple lists, and I found 400 lots for sale under $50,000 in Sussex County alone. And I found about 25 or 30 within a 10-mile radius. So if the land trust really wants to find housing and build housing for poor, it's available in Sussex County.
Okay, Mr. Paul, I'm going to cut you off there because that's really getting far afield.
Well, I didn't know where I could go.
And I understand. It's difficult because we're not rehearing what took place already. These are These hearings are strictly limited to several statutory factors, and I know Mr. Willard's aware of them, so I'll ask him to guide you into those proper categories.
Are there any other duplexes in the West Rehoboth community?
No, there are not.
Okay. And do you have an opinion as to what a double in a duplex would do to the neighborhood?
Well, the problem with West Rehoboth is that there are no sidewalks. There's no curbing. The only way people have access from neighborhood to neighborhood is either by car or walking or playing in the streets. So by putting multiple units exacerbates it. You're talking about putting two families, six to eight, maybe more people, four cars at a minimum, and that doesn't even account for people who are coming to visit. One of the neighbors will get up in a few minutes and tell you that the parking is really a problem. People have to end up parking on other people's properties when visitors come. So that is a problem that's going to be exacerbated by this, and it really opens up the door to speculators and more people putting in multifamily housing, which I feel, doing this for so many years, would be detrimental to the homeowners in West Rehoboth.
All right, thank you. Do you have anything else you want to add right now?
That's all.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
If I can continue my presentation.
Sure.
I know Ms. Gilmore, and I probably would have done the same thing, she emphasized that the dimensions were not that far as what can fit there. And she couched it in terms of, a 3-foot variance. The variance is not a setback variance. There's a significant distinction between saying, I need 3 feet for my single-family home, and saying, I need two single-family homes. In essence, a duplex. Why is that? You got two families, you need four more parking spaces, and you have all the incumbent demand on infrastructure that doubling the occupancy of that lot would entail. I just wanted to comment that I couch it a different way, which is, I think, the accurate way, that the variance is not for a 3-foot setback. It's for adding another unit to the property. Just if I can go through the factors that
that's not really correct. It's for 273 feet. The duplex concept is what county council is dealing with. The only thing before the board is whether or not they're entitled to a variance of 273 square feet. So,
right, but
we understand what's going on with the other people. But again, in terms of this application tonight, I really want to keep it to the.
I agree, and I didn't mean to misrepresent, and I know what her representation was. But ultimately, the result of your decision is what's important, and the 270 feet would allow for another dwelling to be on the property. Your statute calls, obviously, for unique physical conditions. We didn't hear too much from the applicant about that. I wasn't privy to what they handed into the board. I have a copy of the tax map. It probably is not as attractive as theirs, but because she is correct that the original plot was in 1947 and plot 90 subdivided others in 1965, but the reality is the vast majority of the lots are all the same size or very similar size. They're fairly small, 6,500 square feet, and this will demonstrate it. So I'd like to hand that to the board.
Okay.
Mr. Burrow has schooled me lately and often about these factors that are required. And one thing when you read your factor number one, which is the uniqueness, is it's supposed to be related to the physical conditions of the property. In other words, the unique physical conditions or circumstances are including irregularity, narrowness, shallowness of lot, or shape. And I submit to you that we've heard none from the applicant. And that the unnecessary hardship or exceptional practical difficulty is due to such conditions. Now, as I contemplated this, and I did not appear for the Planning Commission, and I wrestled with, what is this applicant's hardship? And it really doesn't exist because the lot is not unusual in shape. If you look at a tax map, they're all that size, and a single-family dwelling could fit in there. So really, their hardship or their purporting is the price. We can't afford it. Or it's the fact that we can't get financing because of the price. And ultimately, that we want to provide low-income housing, which is a good goal, But if you really focus on what the hardship is, I've struggled with it a little bit. Clearly, it's not related to the physical conditions of the property. Is it due to the condition of the zoning or the zoning, which is not to be attributed to the hardship? Yes. That is, it's GR, and they need that required area to build two units there. So we submit to you that there, number one, there is no uniqueness to the property that's related to the physical condition. And if you reach and try to go with the hardship as the price, could be a very slippery slope. In fact, the Delaware courts have indicated, and there's a Baker decision and other Searles decision, I think, that said that economics alone can certainly not be a reason to grant a variance. So that's our position on that element. Then when you take it to the next element, that because of such physical, and you know, it's interesting, and I'm not sure this is public record, Ms. Granke's not here tonight, but she's appeared before various applications, and she's indicated, it's in the Cape Gazette article, that the stark reality of this project is the only reason they need the variance is because they can't get the financing without it. That's the reason for it. The second factor is because of the physical conditions or circumstances, there is no possibility that the property can be developed. I don't believe you've heard any demonstration tonight that they can't develop it otherwise. In other words, a single-family home would fit there. If you want to go there on the financing and the cost and what they're trying to do, then they would need to raise their revenues or find a less costly home to build there. Move a home there, have habitat or something like there. But it can be developed, we submit to you, in strict conformity. It can fit. That such unnecessary hardship or exceptional practical difficulty has not been created. There's no physical uniqueness or problem with the topography of the land, the size of the land, which won't allow it to be developed, so therefore they hadn't created it. Finally, the second to last one is the variance, if authorized, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, permanently impair the development for adjacent properties, or be a detriment to public welfare. And in this case, we think the opposition has a pretty good case that it would. I have various letters that were submitted to the Planning Commission and the Council that are part of the public record that I think it's appropriate to submit to you as they are communications from nearby property owners, some adjacents that identify themselves, that tell you what they think will happen to their property. And you know, I have 32 of them. Maybe some of the individuals are here today, and I by no means want to read them all. I'd like to submit them into the record and sure. Just highlight a couple of them.
Okay.
There's one from Sharon Whitman. She owns property on Norwood Street right in the neighborhood. She indicates that, I do not believe my West Rehoboth neighborhood can tolerate multifamily housings or that a variance is appropriate. The streets are too narrow for parking. They're mostly one lane wide, and there's no place to park unless you park on the grass. Multifamily housing will compound this problem, more cars. You'll note on the site plan that Dunbar is a dead-end street, and cars do park on the other side of the street. Here's another, an owner of 19688 Dunbar Street. Dunbar is narrow, potholed, unpaved, gravel only, and has no sidewalks. The street is so narrow that it's difficult to turn around. Let's just summarize that one. I am a co-owner of a lot across the street from the lot that is being considered for a variance from a single-family dwelling, a multifamily dwelling. I believe that granting a variance will hurt both the current residents as well as future homes owners, as it will decrease the value of the surrounding properties. As a landowner in West Rehoboth, I do not support granting the variance. A few more if you'll indulge me. We oppose any conditional use to change the zoning and residential property because it is not in the best interest of historic Rehoboth. We purchased a lot in West Rehoboth based solely on lot sizes and setback requirements. We are hoping to build a house on lot 66 in the very near future. The current county codes are sufficient in helping to create a community where everyone feels welcome and can be proud of their community. Changing them now will set a precedent for others to follow, and the community will never grow as it should. There are also some emails in there. I'm strong opposition of the conditional use application. This should be denied for several reasons. Crime has exploded in the near West Rehoboth area. The property was intended to be owned privately by individuals. Surrounding home values will continue to fall. Noise is out of control. This is actually from Mr. Norman Stord, and he offers two correspondences where he actually documents statistics with crime reports. And, you know, as I consider the, will it affect the nature of the area? Will it permanently affect an adjacent property? Will it be a detriment to the welfare of the neighborhood? You know, you walk softly on this issue because just because you have a high density area doesn't mean that you're going to have, you know, high crime. The reality with this area is they're having problems there, and they've escalated, and Mr. Stewart documents this in here. So when we consider those three elements of this one factor, how will it affect the character of the neighborhood, will it detrimentally affect adjacent property, and will it be a detriment to welfare, it seems to me it's relevant that this homeowner, as well as at least half a dozen more, and I know there was a petition submitted, are really concerned about, I guess for lack of better words, fuel in the fire, adding density to a situation that like that where there's not home ownership. And that summarizes, I think, most of the people's position as far as that's concerned. She's turning out the lights on. Yeah. Is that a hint?
No, sorry.
There's also a letter in here from Mr. J. Work. He's actually a lawyer from Dover, but he owns property nearby, and his beef is mainly a property value. There are several letters of people in the vicinity that are concerned about the low-income housing aspect of it. That is what it is, but I think more importantly, as Mr. Burrell said, you have to decide, is it appropriate to grant this variance, which ultimately would allow multifamily there. It also, here's another homeowner on Norwood Street. It also lowers the value of the homeowners and landowners' property. They live in there. There's dozens of the same form that obviously was passed out and people signed. There have been numerous studies throughout the United States that have shown high-density housing in low-income neighborhood has had a negative effect on property values on existing homes in the community. More people, more noise, more cars, more crime, more trash. These are important factors. This form also cites the narrowness of the road and the fact that it's a dead end. Almost done, gentlemen. And Mr. Paul, who you've heard testimony from, he has elaborated on that based on his experience. I think it's worth perhaps you reviewing, but the summary of it is based on his work with the low-income housing, is by adding non-ownership and multi-dwelling, it actually hurts the property values. And we submit to you the character and nature of this historic property. I have prepared for you, well, I'll submit these, so I'll submit them in the record. It's just the letters I've read.
That's all of
them. Just to summarize, gentlemen, I think it is very important that the court recognize the scope of the first factor, that the uniqueness should be based on the physical condition, and I've included it in a proposed decision and proposed finding, which I'll give to Mr. Burrell. But the Delaware Supreme Court has held that economic advantage or conversely economic hardship alone does not justify a variance. The fact that a zoning law prohibits higher density is not a hardship of difficulty that this board recognizes. So the fact that you can't build multifamily unless you have a certain size, and the fact that you can't afford it or get financing are not recognized by law as hardships created by the uniqueness. So with that said, I'll hand to Mr. Burrell or Ms. Isaacs the proposed
Here they are, right here. These are the...
Yeah, the findings got away from me, but...
That's okay. I'll treat them. That's fine.
So these are the proposed findings, proposed decision.
And unless there are any questions from me, I'll sit down.
Are there any questions from a member of the board? From Mr. Ward? Mr. McCabe? Mr. Workman?
The parking. We've got on the parking. They got four parking spaces. What kind of parking do they have there? The neighbors and everything else. I mean, this new duplex can get four parking spots.
Yeah, I think they're required to have four. Ms. Gilmore probably can address that, but they're required to have four, for each unit.
What kind of parking places do they have there now?
I suspect, Mr. Workman, having been there a few times, that it's a sort of a mishmash of different parking for various units there. There's some trailers in there. There are a lot of vacant lots in there. There's some smaller single-family homes. There are no duplexes.
So they'll probably have four parking spaces, too, probably.
They would be required to.
And the other homes would have, don't you think so?
I think they're just required to have two. In a GR.
Okay.
I believe that's the law for that. That's why, you know, and one of the people opposed to this is obviously very concerned about the precedent. If you give a variance for this expanded square footage that allows multifamily, and you multiply that times 125 lots, then you're getting into a lot of parking spaces.
Parking places, yeah.
And a lot of cars.
Okay.
But they're required for us. And if you go down there right now, I think you'd see all kinds of parking situations.
There.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Edson?
I have one, Mr. Ward. The applicant has stated that they're trying to serve with the duplex the history of this particular property. And that the property itself has served two families. How would you respond to that, or?
Well, I think in they emphasize the fact that there were two laterals to this over 10 years ago. I don't think that alone demonstrates that it's the character of this neighborhood that there were not single family predominant there. There were two trailers on one lot. It wasn't a duplex, if you consider that multifamily. I don't know, in fact, Ms. Hudson, I don't know if the square footage of those duplexes would have met the current statute as it is. I think if they had evidence that there were a lot of multifamily or duplexes in there, you would have seen it tonight.
But there's no other property in that area that serves two families on a single lot.
We don't have any evidence of that. And, you know, to the extent the applicant has the burden that Mr. Burrell reminds me a lot of.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mills?
No questions.
Okay, no questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Those that were sworn in, do you have anything else to add to what was just presented? All right, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. I wanted to add that I think one thing that's also important is that the undue hardship must not be self-inflicted by the applicant. At least that's my basic understanding of property law. And here it's self-inflicted because they don't own the land yet. So, you know, I mean, it's really putting the cart before the horse to ask for the variance before you own the land. Mm-hmm. The variance should only be allowed to prevent an undue hardship if you already own the land and for whatever reason you can't build. And here they could build a single family home and still address the need, the affordable housing needs. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Last call. Good evening.
My name is Stephanie Shelton. I live on Norwood Street, right at the inn, which Dunbar is just before the entrance to my driveway. And that's the only asset that I have. I bought my property in 1991, and I've been trying to recall, I can't remember those homes that they said were over there, you know, that it was two on that lot. I don't recall that. But I do know there's no room for parking because my neighbor, she can barely get two cars in her yard. you know, mm-hmm. and it's very tight around there. And I would appreciate it if it didn't happen, because I'm older and it has changed in the area. It is getting better as far as the traffic. You know, there was a time when, you know, you couldn't even hardly get down the street. It's hard to get down there now when they have all the parties and the music and stuff. But it is better than what it was, mm-hmm. you know. So that's about all I got to say. Okay. Have a good evening.
Thank you, ma'am. You too.
Good evening. My name is Helena Arp, and I own a property on Norwood Street. We own the property. It's a cottage with a property. We own it for 3 years, and we spent every summer down here and weekend in wintertime. Being there for 3 years, the parking situation is definitely a problem. We're pretty much in the middle of Norwood towards the area where they want to build on. And if there is a party going on down the street from us a couple weekends ago, we were parked in completely our gate. If we needed to get out, emergency, we could not even get out. And there's 1,500 people. We can never find the owner of the car. So that's definitely a problem. There's evidence a couple years ago, 3-year-old Nemo got hit by a car. There's no sidewalk. And I just feel if there is help available for this neighborhood, and I've been involved with the children in the neighborhood, and if there's help available, why not help people that have been living there since 1960? They're 86 years old, and I've been in their houses last week when we were collecting petitions, and I could not believe we're living in year 2011, and some people live in such a conditions like this. And they're 80 years old. They can go get a job and get improvements on their home. We're going to help 2-3 families. First of all, look how these families are living now. There's such a trash problem. I can tell you if there's a party in the neighborhood next morning, I know what I'm doing. I come up with a big garbage can and pick up bottles, cans, broken glass that is thrown in my yard, in the front of my yard. And I just feel like that help should be used. Spread it around to people that can get a job and make money and make improvements on their places. It's really needed, and I just don't think this is a good idea. We purchased the cottage because it was single-family neighborhood. We loved it. Would I be in the market looking for a place now? Would there be a duplex? I would not purchase. And somebody feel this might only improve the neighborhood because of the structure? I don't believe so. Maybe clean up, open up that street, you know, enforce codes. Because most of the people that live in those places, they are not owners. Why not enforce codes for the owners of the property? There's garbage everywhere. Grass is high. Hardly anybody cuts their grass. And, you know, why not concentrate on that? And okay. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Tim Waters, 37 Sandalwood, sort of redundant. If this variance is allowed, it's going to move on the other two meetings that haven't satisfied how they're going to decide what they're going to do. So this is going to have, it's going to be a big factor tonight. But again, what was said, all those lots that are in there have the potential for two houses. So it will just exacerbate the whole problem in there. If you were a contractor, I don't think that you would allow somebody to build two houses there and without upgrading that street. I don't think the trust has the money to upgrade streets. I think if they want to preserve the community, and the families are going to move from this community into this house, as we've heard in the past. So it might be good to look and see where these people are now. If you want to preserve the community, look around the neighborhoods. Your money may be well better spent than spending $200,000 on this place. Maybe you can upgrade the houses that the people are going to move into and give them a house, give them a better place to live. And in the meantime, you still can purchase this property, because I don't know where all this money's coming from, but it'd be interesting to know how much they have. And before you grant something, I mean, I couldn't sell you a car unless you had the money. So I don't think we can grant all of this until we find out, is there money there to do all this? But maybe they could spend a little bit on each one of these places in that neighborhood and make it a lot better.
That's it.
Thank you. Okay. That's everyone.
Mr. Chairman, the office received two letters in opposition.
The office also got two letters also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Hearing no other opposition, would you like to have a chance to respond to that?
Just a few comments. Okay. I'll keep them brief.
Please. Thank you.
Not all of the homes in that area have the opportunity to be a duplex. This property is very unique from the aspect that it already has two or sewer laterals. Many of the lots that are there, yes, they're already only 5,000 square feet. They couldn't be a duplex. So there's very few, maybe even a handful, that could only be considered for a duplex. The county had met and approved, I believe, in early 2000 for this very same application that we're doing today and with planning and zoning on another lot, not a variance per se. It was for conditional use for a duplex. But there's very few that this could happen to. So this property is unique just because of that aspect. It was used by two families. It had two sewer laterals. The land trust could put a single family home, but they feel like their efforts are best served, serving more by being able to put a duplex up and creating a deed restricted lot so that they can control that. There were many people in support of, just as we had letters in opposition. The county file has many letters in support and how it's can be served. The land trust cannot change West Rehoboth. The entire West Rehoboth has to, as a unit, come together. So they can't improve the streets. They can't improve sidewalks. That community has been there since the 40s. So some of the opposition just, it's not relevant to the argument. And like I said, this property is unique because it was already used by two families. It has the two sewer laterals. And so I'll leave it to you to decide.
But it had two dwellings because it was essentially a non-conforming use, correct?
Correct.
I mean, those mobiles were there since before 1970, and so it became legally non-conforming. If the goal of zoning law is to eliminate non-conforming uses, doesn't leaving the property as is for just a single family dwelling serve that purpose?
It could, but because we're so close, that's why we're asking for the variance. We're only 147 square feet away. And if the Pennsylvania Railroad hadn't been there, perhaps there would have been some more land area. That goes way back into the history. But like I said, not all the lots could be duplexes. So the argument that it's a slippery slope that everybody's going to have a duplex, it just can't be. Much of the commercial area has changed dramatically to many different uses. And one of our statements at planning and zoning is that the community has become walled in. And one of the statements was that West Rehoboth used to include where the YMCA is, where Burton's Village is, all the way past where Epworth Church is. That was all of West Rehoboth. And so it has essentially shrunk to what it is right now with the Mills subdivision and the Shockley subdivision and the Bookhammer subdivision. So it's over time it has shrunk. And yes, there were many non-conforming issues because of the time. What we're trying to do is preserve that area and help it to serve the people who are from that area. And yes, there are a lot of people that have bought in there and made investments, but our proposal is not to bring down their property value. We're hoping to create nice housing to improve those areas and get people in good, affordable housing.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Hearing no other opposition, Chair will entertain a motion. Yes, sir.
I'm in opposition. Can I? Is it too late to speak?
Yeah, I call. Well, is anybody, because I called once before, the third time, maybe the last time then. Come on, sir. Anybody else that would like to speak, please do so now. Okay. Come on.
You need to be sworn in.
As you already was.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
My name is Frank Bruffy. I am a property owner in West Rehoboth. And I just, it is redundant, but I did, I do understand the points that were brought up by the lawyer for in opposition. Variance should not be allowed for the reasons that he pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
But it has, in addition to that, it's been implied that this wouldn't be a slippery slope for bringing additional duplexes. I'm confident. It's speculative, yes, but I'm confident that it would change the entire nature of that neighborhood to allow duplexes. Speaking for myself, owning several pieces of property, I know that it's possible to work together with other people that own vacant lots and so forth and move things around and make it so that we can get our money back out. But that's not our objective. Our objective is to keep the nature of that neighborhood. But if we're forced to a business model that by definition reduces value, it has to keep the value of property down in order for it to be sustainable, for the land trust to be sustainable and repeatable, it has to have low land prices. As pointed out by the lawyer, that's not a good reason for okay. allowing a variance. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay. Now. Okay, now, Chair, we'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I could table the case 10,831 to get a chance to look at all this information.
To our next regular meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Workman and a second by Mr. McCabe that we table case number 10,831 until our next regular meeting, which will be the 22nd. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Case will be tabled until our next regular meeting.
Case number 10,000.